or tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So from balancing work and family life to being a spiritual leader in your home, fatherhood demands wisdom, patience and grace. Today, we'll explore the challenges of fathers facing. Offering biblical insight and practical strategies to navigate this important journey. Whether you're a father yourself or know someone who is, join us as we delve into the heart of fatherhood. And we are joined on the line by my brother, Brother Mwai Kupumula. Yes, I said it correctly. Good morning, Brother Mwai. How are you?
Good morning. Doing great. How about you?
I am good. Thank you so much for coming through to speak to us.
I was just laughing as you're struggling to pronounce my name. You can speak to Mwai. That's okay.
You know, and it's so funny how all the time, whenever I see a guest with just the name, I always insist on having the surname, you know, because there are those people that are so particular. You must call them by their surname. And I'm like, okay, unless you give me the permission, I'll try not to butcher the surname.
Mwai is good enough.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Brother Mwai. So before we start and speak about all things fatherhood, I'm going to ask that, can you please offer a word of prayer?
Sure, definitely. Let's pray. We come before your throne, our Heavenly Father, with thanksgiving in our hearts for the day that you've given us and the time that the privilege that you've given us to dive into your word and be guided by your instruction. Your word is truth, and it's your purpose, it's your will to sanctify us with truth. So as we go through this discussion, may you open our spiritual eyes and our spiritual minds and our spiritual ears so that we can benefit from this and learn a thing or two as we prepare for your soon coming. In Jesus' name I've prayed. Amen.
Amen and amen. You know, I think the journeys of fatherhood is quite interesting. I always find it quite interesting. And earlier on I was saying that, you know, with fathers, they tend to bond with their children after the children are now born. Unlike us mothers who bond with them, you know, while they're still on the belly. But some fathers, they do bond with the children while they're still, you know, they're in their mommy's tummies. But now when they children are out, there are a lot of challenges that, you know, we face as both parents. But now looking at the fathers, Brother Mwaithi, what are some common challenges that the fathers, in fact, specifically face when it comes to their fatherhood journey? And when we're looking at the Bible, how can they now use what is in the Bible to address those challenges that they're facing?
Yeah, it's a very interesting topic, and I'm very glad that the Bible hasn't left us blank on this one. Mm-hmm. The best place to start from is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. I'm telling you, some of these verses, when you read them, you actually just amazed to see how clear the Bible is on certain things. Let's jump to Ephesians 6, verse 4. And this is directly going directly to fathers, where the Bible says, fathers, I'm using NLT version, mm-hmm. fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and the instruction that comes from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to talk of a balancing act, this verse has everything.
Yeah.
One side of the balancing act is do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. But at the very same time, make sure that you bring them up in discipline and instruction.
Mm.
And the discipline and the instructions that you are applying for are not the worldly standard. The Bible is very clear. You use the discipline and the instruction that comes from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Now it becomes now the task of the father to say, what does the Bible say about all these things?
Yes.
And you find that as we go along, there's so much instruction, there's so much guidance, there's so much counsel that the Bible gives. In first of all, trying to treat, not provoking our children to anger by the way we treat them, and at the very same time also making sure that we are giving them discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord.
So looking at, you know, from this verse, I pick up that discipline can be one of the challenges that we are having. But oftentimes, and someone actually was preaching the other day at my church, and they mentioned this on the pulpit. I nearly stood up, but anyway. we mostly we relegate the disciplining to the mothers, you know. So is that the case? Or it's wrong? Maybe how it's actually being done or what is expected. But are we seeing fathers struggling with disciplining their children?
What I've noticed, I'll speak of this from a practical point of view.
Mm-hmm.
I am a father. I have three daughters.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a shift whereby a home that's full of, if in the home you have sons and daughters,
Yeah. The
fathers will tend to be more lenient to the daughters and tough on their sons, whereas the mothers will tend to be more tough on their daughters and lenient on the sons,
yes.
Whereby there is some sort of favoritism, like parents who always play the favorite when it comes to this issue. I am good on this.
Mm-hmm.
My wife constantly accuses me of being so soft on the girls. You're so soft on them. And it's like, no, the way they say, if you go to daddy, we always get away with it.
Mm.
If you go to daddy, if you want this thing done, don't go to mommy, but go to daddy. Because
yeah.
Mom will say no. Mom is tough. Mom is.
Yes.
And when this kept on coming up, I actually noticed that probably there's a problem. And as parents, as a couple, we agreed that when it comes to disciplining the children, we are going to have one front.
Mm.
So that when moms, they should know that what moms, when mom says no, dad will say no. And when mom says yes, dad will say yes, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm thinking about that, I can't help but remember Proverbs, Proverbs 22,
mm-hmm.
Verse 15. You know, some of these things, again, when you're reading them, saying foolishness is bound up in the heart of a boy, but a rod of discipline will remove it far from him.
Yeah.
So you see, spare the rod and spoil the child. I'm not talking of corporal punishment or, I mean, like physical or whatever, but let's just take it in the context of discipline the children. Children who are not disciplined,
mm-hmm.
they become spoiled. And
yes.
Fathers, we need to try as much as we can to make sure that this issue of playing favorites is removed. That's
mm-hmm.
number one. And in the home, it's also very important that as parents, we come out with one voice.
Mm-hmm. So how can now the fathers balance the issues of, you know, work, family life, and not feel overwhelmed, not feel like it's too much, you know, because there are different types of work. There are some people that when they are working, they are relaxed, you know, it's not heavy labor, it's not manual labor or anything else. Maybe they're just mentally tired because maybe they work on the computers, everything else. Whilst the other fathers, you know, it's manual labor where it's physical work. Their minds are not that much exhausted, but their bodies can't do anything else. Yet when they come home, you know, they have to help the children with homework. They have to bond with the children. They have to do all these things, you know, with the children. So how can they balance those things and make sure that one does not suffer, you know, while they are trying to make everything work together?
I'll give you a very good interesting illustration on this. It comes from a principle I actually watched from a TED talk,
mm-hmm.
and you'll be amazed to say, why are we talking about TED talks here on AWR? But there is a very object lesson that I got from this TED talk,
mm-hmm.
where the principle that I was being put across is that time is very elastic, that it expands to accommodate what we consider as a priority or what we consider as important.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just give you an example. If I told you, for argument's sake, to say that I need 4 hours of your time this afternoon,
yeah,
probably you'll tell me, no, I don't have that time.
Mm.
But let's just assume that your daughter has been involved in an accident and you need to stay with her in the hospital this afternoon for the next 8 hours.
Mm.
I am sure this is not going to be a debate. those 8 hours will be found, and you will go ahead and spend that time with your daughter.
Yes.
Now, the question that I can ask is, what has just happened here? I asked for 4 hours. You told me you have no time, but your daughter needs to be attended to. Is in hospital. Mm. All of a sudden, you found 8 hours. What has happened? Mm. You will notice that the issue here is that your daughter being in the hospital has become a priority.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I spending 4 hours in the afternoon is not a priority. That's why time wasn't available for it.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, instead of managing our time, we need to manage our priorities.
Yes.
And once we have set our priorities right, time will make itself available to cover that which we consider a priority.
Mm-hmm.
So that which you consider a priority gets done, and time will expand itself to accommodate that.
Mm.
So when it comes to parenting, when it comes to being a father, we have busy jobs and everything. It's if you set it as a priority to say, I want to bond with my son. I'll tell you for an example. I make it a point. We have date nights with my daughters, all of them, three of them. We'll make that time. We'll go to a faster restaurant, sit down and talk for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, then go home and relax. We've made it a point. It's a tradition that we do. And so on and so forth. I could be in the middle of something, but when that time comes, because it's a priority we've set, time will make itself available.
So how then, what now does it mean for fathers, to be spiritual leaders in the home? What does that all mean? Because, I mean, you guys are dealing with a lot. You are really dealing with a lot, and how can you best fulfill this role of being a spiritual leader in your own home?
You see, it doesn't get any better than what Paul says, to say that, imitate me as I imitate Christ.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I've noticed in my journey of parenting is that children, we will listen more to what they see you do other than what you tell them to do. The challenge that we have is what we say doesn't have much impact on our children or in our homes, unlike that which our children see us doing. So the challenge that we have as fathers in this modern day is we have double lives. We want to be a good father in front of our children, but once we are away from them, we are totally different people. And at the end of the day, it doesn't work. It will not work. So being a good father, being a role model to your kids, it's an intentional process that you have to go through by investing in yourself first as a person. And these are things you cannot fake. If you want to teach your children how to be humble yourself. There's absolutely no way you can teach meekness to your kids when you are not meek. There's absolutely no way your kids will know how to manage their temper if you have anger management issues.
Yeah.
So you notice that the biggest challenge that we have as fathers is to go back to the basics. Look at ourselves in the mirror to say, as a father, what are my flaws? What are things that I need help? And as we are growing as fathers, the same growth will emanate, will expand in our homes. It will be shown in our children, and it becomes now a circle of influence which we can easily minister to. Remember, our first missionary field is our home. And one thing about the home is this. You can pretend at church. You can pretend at work. You can pretend anywhere else. But when it comes to the home, it's almost impossible to pretend. And at home, this is where people have a chance of seeing the true person that we are. And if we can win these battles at home, I am telling you, it's far much easier to win these battles anywhere else.
So looking at how, our children are different, you said you had three daughters today. I have two sons and one daughter. I'm asking on behalf of my husband now. You know, how can now you as a father of three girls, him as a daddy of two boys and one girl, how can you now build, you know, strong, meaningful relationships, you know, with your children, knowing that they're different? I'm very much sure that those three girls, they're totally different people altogether,
oh, yes.
You know. And even the ones there at my house, one is quiet, one is too much loud, or the other one, we don't even understand, you know. So how then do you build relationship with all three, knowing that, you know, they're different? Even if it's one child, there is things that you're like, I don't understand, you know. But how then do we now build those strong, meaningful relationships?
You see, it starts with a model that God gives us in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Mm. Imagine the all-knowing God is inviting us to a discussion table where he says, come, let us reason together. Mm. I mean, and for this time, God was talking about the sins that Israel was doing. So he was telling them, though your sins might be red as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. But you know, before the sins become as white as snow, the issue here is, come, let us reason. Let us reason together.
Yeah.
Now, you might be asking yourself this question to say, why would God initiate dialogue? Why would God initiate conversation? For crying out loud, he already knows what Israel is up to.
Yes.
I mean, there is nothing that is hidden from him. He has a brilliant idea of what is going on. But but he says, come.
Mm.
And he's inviting Israel on the dialogue table and they're having this discussion. I actually picked something very important there to say that if God does this with us so that he can build a relationship. Again, you go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Mm. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. Mm. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and I'll sup with him. Mm. You know? Jesus wants to deal with our issues over a meal. And you know, a meal is something you eat daily.
Yeah.
Not only once, three times a day. That's how long he longs to build a relationship with us. So you see, when it comes to building these meaningful relationships with our children, there are no two ways about it.
Mm.
We have to create the time.
Mm.
There is no such a thing like remote parenting, unfortunately.
We are in a digital world.
I will give you a very practical example. I stayed in a country away from my family for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I resigned from that job and came back to our home country because I came to realize that this remote parenting thing
it's
doesn't
not the
work.
One. Mm.
There is only so much video calls and messages and phone calls can do. At the end of the day, you have to be present in the life of your children. And by the way, I'm playing catch up and I'm beginning to realize that, you know, these three girls are three different individuals that have to be handled differently.
Yes.
And the more we have these dates, the more we talk. Like I discovered the other day that all of a sudden my second born enjoys us to have our Sunday morning walks. We walk 5 kilometers every Sunday morning. So we'll go and drop a car at the car wash and walk back home. And I'm telling you, the amount of conversations that come, you know, hearing this brilliant minds of these young children as they're growing, they're beginning to reason, they're beginning to question things, they're beginning to make meaning of life and all these issues that are going on with them. It's so nice. I mean, there is no experience as such. And my advice to fathers, don't be too busy for your children, period.
Yep.
You might be, you know, life throws things at us. Maybe due to circumstances, you've divorced. You're not together with your wife or anything has happened. But as long as you have children as a father, make time for your children.
Mm.
Invest in them, not only money-wise, not only you pay for school fees and everything, but make time to be in their life.
Mm.
Reason with them. Understand what's happening to them. You should build this relationship where they know that, you know what, I can always go to daddy.
Mm. I like that. I like that, because if we don't create those time, even if it's gardening, even if, I'm not really saying it out loud on radio. If you do play station, yeah, play with your children. I didn't say it out loud, right? It was between me and you, right? Yeah. So, you know, things, you know. Also, do take your children to the car wash. And I love that example, you know, of dropping your car and then now you're walking back, because it gives you guys, you know, time. And also, you know, just going down just to go and buy ice cream. It's okay, guys. It's okay. Winter, summer is coming now in the Southern Hemisphere. It's okay. Just take that walk. And yeah. I'm loving that right now. So as we wrap up, you know, Brother Mwai, you know, there are some people, you know, these stories, we hear them, we don't know if they're true or they're made up, where you would find a child now despising the father who's, for example, a pastor. They're like, you are preaching this, but at home you are living something different. You are not what we are seeing. Mm-hmm. It's not what you people mm-hmm. are. You are, when you are outside, you are the best man ever. But when you're this home, you're like, you are this monster, you know. So how can we now fathers, you know, live out the Christian life that they're teaching their children? Leave out those practical examples that the child would not say, hey, I don't know this man that you guys are talking about, because me, I know a different person, you know. So how can they live out what they are preaching?
You see, one thing that comes to mind is whatever your hand finds, do it as if you're doing it unto the Lord. You might be a pastor, and you might be an evangelist, or you might be, you know, there are people who do these things maybe because they get a paycheck and whatever. But one thing I've come to realize is parenting is a calling. And there is this instinct that God has put in us that the moment you become a parent, there are certain things that change in you. It hit me so hard when my firstborn daughter was born. We were together in the labor ward with my wife, and when I was the first one to hold her when she was born, and you know, this weight of responsibility, I felt it on my shoulders when I held her. And you know, as we went home looking at this helpless child, who I knew for a couple of weeks, months, she will sort of have to depend on me and her mother for her existence. You know, that just changed me. And, you know, at the end of the day, I normally challenge people to say that if you can't be a good man for yourself, do it for your kids. And they will thank you later.
Yeah.
So it's about motivation. It's about finding the why, finding the purpose in life for being a good man. And one of the things I've come to realize is you want your kids to look up to you and say, you know what, I have a good dad. You want your kids to look up to you to say, you know what, I can go to daddy and ask for advice because I know my dad is this kind of a person. So you see, for me in this instance, and this is a very delicate balancing act, it's about finding purpose, finding motivation, and finding meaning to the kind of people whom we are becoming. And the Bible gives a very good counsel to say, whatever you find your hand to do, do it as if you're doing unto the Lord. So if God gives me an opportunity to become a father today, I should become a father as if God has sent me to be a father. And you know, God is a God of standards. He's a God of excellence. He is not a mediocre. God is excellent. And you know, one thing that I like the most about him, He says we can do everything through the strength that he gives us. So, you know, there are those moments that as a father you feel like giving up. There are those moments that as a father you feel like you're the worst person, and there is all this negative talk, and you judge yourself too much, you push yourself too much. But you sit back and remember that, you know what, a righteous man might fall 7 times, but he rises up again. So at the end of the day, it's finding our true meaning as fathers in the in the image of our Maker, who is God, and knowing that when we have failed, we can go back to Him and He will restore us and help us to become better fathers.
Indeed, the journey of fatherhood can be quite interesting there. Brother Moy, thank you so much for coming through and sharing with us there. I hope you didn't faint there in the labor ward since you say you were there, but I'm going to ask that, can you please pray? Pray. I don't know what you're doing there, no, but it's okay.
I didn't faint. Actually, I went for the second born and went for the third born as well.
Lovely. That is good. That is good. They say men these days are brave. But anyway, I'm going to ask that, can you please offer a word of prayers for all the fathers and those who want to be fathers, you know, so that God may guide them through this journey?
Before I pray, I'll tell you, one of the things that came to my mind, the lesson, object lesson I learned through my labor days is I have so much respect for mothers. Because, you know, there will be no fathers without mothers.
True.
So while we're trying our best to be good fathers, we you mothers, we respect you, we love you, we cherish you, we pray for you, and while we're being good fathers, we also want to be good husbands.
Yeah.
To you, and it's important that you also pray for us, because it's tough, eh? It's really not easy being a man, being a father. Let us bow our heads and pray. We thank you, Father, because of this opportunity that you gave us to just try to unpack the mysteries of the glory that are hidden in your word. We are living in a society where the devil is really busy. And one of the things that the devil is attacking is the home. In your wisdom, you've made fathers to be the head of the home. And we know for a fact that these attacks that the devil is bringing in homes, he will definitely direct them on fathers. So in a very special way, I want to pray for all fathers who are listening to us this morning, that you put a double portion of your blessing on them, meet them at the point of need, help them, help us, keep us, and may our eyes be focused on you. And as we raise our children and guide our homes in paths of righteousness, may you be our guide, and may you supply for our needs. Forgive us where we've fallen short. And may your grace be sufficient in times of need. Continue blessing us and giving us wisdom, for we need it to be good leaders. Help us to lead by example. And may you help us to also be priests of our homes, so that while we're parenting our children, our parenting should not be only here on earth, but that these children can one day make it to heaven with us. In Jesus' name I've prayed. Amen.
Amen and amen. My brother, thank you so much. May you have yourself a blessed day.
Thank you very much.
Amen.
Bye. You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.